making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, so
yo,
what's up?
How's your drive-in?
It sucked.
You're right. Nobody wants to hear about that, though.
No, well, we can talk about it later.
Yeah, we will. There'll be 5 minutes we get
I'm a magnet. I am a magnet for
car contact.
Other people's shortcomings on the road. We'll leave it at that. That's a nice way of putting it.
That's a good tease.
Their shortcomings as drivers. I am a magnet for the dummies on the road. I was a magnet in January, and I was a magnet again this morning on a much lesser level.
Yeah.
God.
You're luckier this morning than you were in January.
Oh, right. No, I was much luckier in January than today. Today, I didn't need any luck to survive.
Yeah.
There was no risk of personal injury today.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Our guy Hardy looks like he had an interesting weekend.
How you doing, Hardy? Ready to go?
Acting a little weird
today.
All right,
today. He looks good. He looks good. Back to work for everybody, including Tom Brady this week.
Mm.
Brady's going back to work. Is he? He's going back to work, Hardy.
He is, right?
Yes, he's going to be there tomorrow. If not earlier.
Gronkowski
seems
all in.
He's going to be there.
He's my man, the big boy, got some juice.
He RSVP'd over the weekend. Gronk said he'd be there, ready to go.
Guess the contract's
ready
done.
To be out on the field. I think that...
The tight end seems really engaged now for some reason. I don't know
I think the framing Very of the contract is done, right?
Yes.
The major bullet points.
What's the date? June 5th, I think it gets announced.
Why do you say that?
Well, I just think there's a certain date they need to clear it by, and then... Cross the T's, dot the I's, and then we'll figure out what's going on here. But I think Rob's feeling pretty giddy today. Looks like he's good to go. A lot of cameras down there. So obviously my commute takes me past Route 1. And it's like day before AFC Championship game, you look over and you see the little movie theater there. And there's about 10 satellite trucks out there. And Joe Schmicksleeve's out there doing his stand-up live from Gillette Stadium as we await Tom Brady's arrival. There's a lot of people down there. Everybody waiting to see the quarterback. See what his mood is. More importantly, I think, what's Bill Belichick's mood? How's that interaction go? Or has there already been interaction?
Well, Ben Volen wrote over the weekend. Ben Volen, Boston Globe. The Patriots have been practicing together for 7 weeks. But for the first time since 2010, Tom Brady has chosen to do his own thing. So has his running mate, Rob Gronkowski, who wants a new contract. So Brady didn't speak with the media Friday night. He has still not announced when he will return to the Patriots. Robert Kraft expects him back this week for the team's minicamp held on Tuesday until Thursday. He says, unlike the other practices this spring, these next three are mandatory. So the message from Brady is clear. He's doing the exact minimum required of him this spring and nothing more. The point of this story, though, is to question what happens when he gets back. What happens when it comes to first-team quarterback versus second-team quarterback, first-team reps, second-team reps? Brady hasn't been there. Brian Hoyer has. Why are you laughing?
Because, I mean, I go through the process because every year we would show up and you'd have a form you would fill out to start a workouts in the off season. Okay, here's what it is, your goals, what's your height, what's your weight, what year is this for you? Let's just double check your cell phone. Did you get a new cell phone in the off season? Email, everything's good, right? Okay, and you do that. Like, is that the day Brady does that today? Because like, he hasn't been anywhere near the building. It's just the little things I laugh at.
Your goals or the team's goals for you?
No, personal goals.
So you have to write your goals down. They don't have your goals written for you.
Well, I mean, this used to be a Parcells thing. I don't know if Bill does that, but, you know, I don't know. You see the stuff over the weekend about Matt Patricia taking the decals off the Lions helmets. This is like little Patriot things. Down there in Houston, Mike Vrabel, Tennessee, Vrabel sent two guys home or sent them off the practice field because they started a fight. You get thrown out of games, you're going to get thrown out of practices. Okay, that's the way it is. Little Belichick type things. So does Brady show up and like the clothes hanging on the same hook in the locker? And hey, who did this to my chair? Does anybody have the balls to mess with them? Like practical joke is shoes.
Well, he says, will Brady get his usual amount of work or will he be relegated to backup duty behind Hoyer as punishment for his absences?
Excuse me?
That's right. Punishment for his absences. Will he be relegated to backup duty or will he get the usual amount of work? What would you do? You're Bill Belichick, Zell. What do you do? How do you handle it?
I put Brady in first with the first group.
Yep.
That's you put Brady in the first group because this, and here's the deal for the week. If you're there as a member of the media and you're there early, you stay for the whole practice. So they will be observing every single drill, every single stretch. It's not like normal practice during a regular season where they watch the stride and stretch and see who's out there and technically dressed. And then once they get together as a team, they're forced to leave the building. You're going to see everything this week. So I think if Bill wants to, I don't want to say bury the story, but let's turn the page and move on to the next year. That, okay, insert him. He's in with the ones. Instantaneously, he's making all the calls. He's in the gun. He's changed the plays four times in the walkthrough. Seems like it's as back to normal as you can be.
Why does Bill have to change it? Why can't Brady change it?
Change what?
Turn the page on that story. Why does Bill have to turn the page on the story? He's the one that's been there.
Because it's the first time where they're together. And like I've said all along, I don't think Bill went into that building every day this offseason and said, gee, is this the day Tom's going to show up? I think there's a clear understanding
I'll tell you
between
why.
The two as to
because
when.
I'm rooting at this point for somebody to be the bigger man and just try and bury it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm rooting for.
You put Hoyer in the
I
huddle
think everybody's
at first
been
snap,
wrong.
We got
I
problems,
want,
boys.
I'm rooting for somebody to say, you know what, we're going to try and put this thing behind us. I don't care if it's the coach. I don't care if it's the quarterback. But I can tell you this. If Brady comes in and Bill says, hey, I meant what I said. OTAs were voluntary. I wish you were here, but you weren't. But you're still our quarterback. Go in, take the first team reps. Shouldn't that then trigger something in Brady? Like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's
Maybe
move
it's
on.
Not so bad after all.
I need you. You need me to get to 13-3. That's it. They both need each other to get to 13-3.
It doesn't hurt Belichick at all. In fact, you know what I think it continues? That doesn't help the team. If our argument against Brady not being there is that him not being there, not working with his teammates, is going to hurt the team in the end, it's not going to hurt Brady because he's great.
Yeah.
Well, then why would you want to continue that if you're the coach?
Because
if
this.
If you're Bill, why do you want a continuation of that?
Well, because you got a lot of new guys in. You've been teaching all these guys. You've got great. What has he accentuated this past OTA is great young leadership. We got new guys in leadership roles. And if that guy who hasn't participated in one single offseason thing comes in day one and he's inserted right into that number one lineup, what kind of message does that send to the team? Does Bill really want to send a message to the team that you missed stuff? Yeah, he's our quarterback, but first series, he's not going
to
be practicing.
See, my thing is, I don't think you need to send messages to the team with Tom freaking Brady.
I agree
Those
with
players
that.
On that team are not stupid.
I agree with
they're
that.
They're not going to fall for that message. They know that Brady is different than everybody else on that roster.
But they're looking
they're
and they're wondering.
Children.
That's the key. They're looking and they're wondering. And I'm telling you, I've talked to guys close to the situation. They're going to sit them back and look and see what's this dynamic now.
Who else on the team needs a message to be sent to Tom Brady for them to get the message that nobody's above, you know, the rules here?
It's
would you guys
young.
Be saying the same thing if it
it's
was Garoppolo instead of Hoyer?
Oh, this would be like 800 times more.
I'm saying you guys, your opinion, would your opinion change if it was Garoppolo instead of Hoyer?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Why would
You'd
it change?
You still put Brady in there, number one, getting
yes,
the first
Yes, because the issue is
in.
Between Brady and Belichick, and it needs to come to an end. I'm rooting for someone to put it to an end. Someone to just ignore it and move on.
I think if Belichick said to Brady, listen, Brian's been here all offseason. He's taken the first snaps. I want to let you know ahead of time that that's going to happen. And Brady comes out after practice and speaks and says he deserves to take the first team rep.
In fact,
that puts it away. That puts it to bed.
I know.
Why can't that put it to bed? Why does it have to be Belichick being the bigger man?
Because you're piggybacking with another thing that would have
because
to happen
I'm
off Bill's first action.
I'm done caring about who the bigger man ends up being.
Well, you guys are fired
I just
up
want
today.
It to be over.
This is good for a Monday.
Don't you just want it to
okay.
be over?
So if that is,
don't
so
you
you're,
want Brady
so you're
practicing?
Okay with my scenario then too.
TikTok,
what is your scenario
TikTok.
Again? The Garoppolo one?
No. I just said if he goes to Brady. No,
yeah.
That's not what I just said.
He did.
Oh, you're talking about the second part where if he tells Brady ahead of time for
yeah.
one series.
Listen, Brian deserves these first team reps. He's been here all along, and then you get to mid practice, we'll switch it up. And if Brady speaks after the practice and says, you know what, he's been here all along, he deserves to take those first snaps, that puts it to bed too.
Brady would never say that.
So, all right. So you're admitting that this is a Brady problem. This isn't a Belichick problem. This is a Brady problem.
But then if Bill would have to go to him, that's like, I'm going to go to Tom Pryor to it to talk.
Because having Brian Hoyer take first team reps is stupid. There's no advantage to your team. There's nothing to be gained by doing that. He's not good. Brady is. Brady needs to work with these guys because he hasn't been there. Yes, it was his choice.
You don't think there's some eye rolling with some players that said this guy's just going to walk in the door and take first team reps?
I don't think so.
And there's one reason
why
this
crazy. These are human beings with emotions that have been working their asses off.
He's right on this. There are going to be some players affected by it because Tom just gets everything handed to him. But
because he's Tom Brady,
let's not forget. What's the one word they've stressed from day one of this?
He's earned it after all this time.
What's the one word they've stressed from day one of the offseason?
It's football Jesus walking through the door. Are you kidding me?
This is voluntary. The key word, voluntary.
Not anymore.
Is the reason Brady will be in the huddle because now it is mandatory.
How does Brady
walk
into camp? How is he handled by Bill Belichick? How should the reps go? We're talking about that. Rob Gronkowski has confirmed he's coming back. We'll touch on that as well. We start today with some Patriots talk. How about that? 617-779-0985.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom Brady participated in a charity event on Friday night, Best Buddies Challenge at Harvard Stadium. Was not there on Saturday. That was odd. Julian Edelman was. James White was. I think Troy Brown was down there as well at Craigville Beach. But Tom Brady, not there this year.
Said Schefter took a spot, right? In the story in the Cape Cod Times.
Yeah, I guess.
No, it would be Edelman. See, here's the Best Buddies thing. Is eventually when Tom is done, it's going to be Julian's thing. Like it was Brewski's, like it was Bledsoe's, back in the day, and it transferred from guy to guy.
Okay, but it's still Tom Brady's thing.
It's still Tom Brady's thing because I didn't do it because of the prom stuff. And, we had the big baseball tournaments on Saturday, so I wasn't even down there on Saturday. But yet, people started tweeting me, some writers.
Yeah.
And some people on Team Tom Brady.
I thought you were going to say on bikes. Some people on bikes.
Actual riders. Yeah, the people that did the 100-mile bike ride. Like, where the hell was he at? Like, they didn't know. Nobody knew that it was going to be Shriver and Edelman hosting, the beachside clam bake. Because if you watch the commercials and the advertising, they do the ride, and there's Tom and Katie, and next thing you know, there's the clam bake, and Brady's throwing the footballs to the crowd. He did that all Friday night, too. And I assume he was still at that party. You didn't go this year. I didn't go.
I couldn't make
it. Let me see here.
But he wasn't there Saturday.
A-plus 10
yeah,
kind of guy.
Yeah, there it is. That's all I could think about.
And
that's all I could think about Friday night.
So I guess Schefter played the game
Friday night.
When
Schefter caught a pass from Brady and ran for a touchdown, I'm like, yeah, A-plus, A-number-1.
So according,
I'm told that genuineness shine through.
And this is worth the mention because earlier in the offseason when Adam Schefter was putting out reports about Tom Brady. And we said, we know where this is coming from. It's coming from Brady. It's a play.
I'm told that genuineness shine through.
He's trying to create some kind of faux leverage here.
Yeah, and it's a hell of a
hell
of event at the end.
Who did he use to put that out there?
It's a hell of a event at the end because
the guy was catching footballs from him on Friday night at Harvard and then was filling in for him down at the finish line.
Well, supposedly,
do I sound firm on that?
Yes, you do.
According to Richard Lieb,
very firm.
Wife Mary flipped the coin toss Friday night. Nice little gesture there. He said that Guy Fieri was nowhere around Friday night, but he was there all day Saturday. So did they have that planned out?
Wait, Guy's food festival was Friday.
No, he wasn't anywhere in the building or in the tent.
Sure?
Rich went to the post stuff. Could not. They said he was there Saturday all day. So I don't know if that was scheduled that way, if he's going to balance that out, but just got a text from somebody, and he has two of the boys in there that are participants, and they do a hell of a job with these kids.
Yeah.
Said first time in 10 years that Tom missed it. But they love Julian, and Julian's great with these kids, too.
First time in 10 years. He's been busy. A lot of family time this offseason.
Well, it's also sort of setting up the transfer of everything from him to Julian. when he's ultimately going to walk away from football. Does that mean that he's closer to walking away from football than we think?
You think we can read into this as to him being close to being done with football?
I'd use it as an indicator.
Well,
I mean,
someone
it's
should
the
have
first
asked,
offseason since 2009 he hasn't been around.
Someone should have asked Schefter. Schefter seems to know what's up. Someone should have asked him on Friday night.
The genuineness.
Tell me, is this an A-plus kind of guy?
Do I sound clear on that?
Crystal.
Now, was there there was no media availability,
what
correct?
What kind of guy is Tom Brady is really the question here, Adam. What kind of guy is he? A-plus? B-minus?
A-plus,
oh.
10 kind of guy.
Yeah, he's a 10 kind of guy. Tom Brady.
Is 10 like the best?
10 out of 10.
Is it 10? Can you get a 12 out of 10? It's not even possible.
He's a 10 out of 10.
A-plus 10 gold star halo emoji.
What's a Sinatra song? How's it called, a Sinatra song?
A number
cream of the
one,
crop, top of the
top
heap.
Of the heap, king of the hill, A number one.
Bam.
He says A number one twice. It's kind of a crap lyric.
Yeah.
I mean, do you read anything into it?
A lot of filler there.
Yeah.
Do you read anything into the weekend of an absence from?
I don't read into his football career from that, no. But I like where your head's at. I like what you're thinking. It might mean that he's closer to being done with football because he's trying to transition out of the charity thing, and his plan was transition out of that as he got done playing football.
He did the game, Jules does the ride event, and at some point he won't do any event and Jules will take over the whole thing.
Yeah, but how long is Jules going to be playing for?
I don't know. James White's there too. I mean, see, it's, you know, could be a combo of guys. I don't know. I don't know the details. I'm not on the board of Best Buddies. I don't know.
Edelman's a lot younger than Brady, but he's not going to be playing when he's 41.
Edelman's 32.
Yeah, he's not going to be playing nine years from now.
Right.
That's not going to be the case.
Well, he is in the method. I mean,
he is.
You never know.
Rob Gronkowski said at his charity event, he did the buzz off again.
Oh, he's in like
fabulous
flip.
Event. He goes all in on that thing, man. He's been doing that for a few years now.
I give him credit, man. A lot of people show up for that, too. I have friends who went to it. Rob can't wait to get his head shaved. He said he feels faster.
Faster, of course he does. Faster. Of course he does.
My kid says that, too, when we go get a haircut. He likes feeling the back of his head because it feels like a dog's butt. You know, it's like, yeah, you kind of got that hair.
Well, this is the one event that Gronk does that's kind of on the open. That's very publicized, very public. But he does a lot of this stuff.
Well, that Supercross was pretty publicized.
No, I'm talking about charity stuff.
No, the hospitals.
I'm talking about...
He's all...
His involvement.
Constantly visiting kids in hospitals.
Yes.
And it's like, remember when... Who did that to? Tim Williams did that back in the
Much
day,
of
right?
which is they not publicized. So his stuff is... I mean, he really is genuine about doing this stuff. But the thing I'm most interested in is he rolled up his sleeves and flexed this weekend, and he looked like freaking He-Man.
I mean, I don't remember him this cut up. I know the neck size is way down. He looks like, from the chest up, he looks like a high school kid. He's got that high school neck, if you know what I mean. And then you get to college, and you get on the juice a little bit, and next thing you know,
what are you
it's
saying?
Like... I'm just telling you. You go to college, you get juiced.
And, here's what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you what I'm
and your
saying.
Your neck's sticking out wider than your ears.
We saw some pictures of him this offseason in which he looked frail and thin.
He ain't frail and thin anymore.
Whatever he's been doing between like 3 months ago and now.
The thick bands.
I don't know what kind of bands he's been dancing with,
thick
but
ones.
I can tell you that he looks ripped. And those concerns are all gone.
Those guns, man.
Those
Jesus
concerns
Christmas.
Have disappeared for me. Because he looks ready to go.
Got same arms as Hardy. The way he was trending there for a while. That was old guy flabby.
Well, he should be so lucky.
Skinny but
flabby.
But old guy arms.
Yeah. Flab.
Pliable. They're pliable.
Yeah. You're hairy.
They're hairy.
You're getting hairier.
I know. It's not good.
Sign of age?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
But the fact that he committed to going to mandatory minicamp tomorrow is making headlines. That he's going to be there.
I see. I think all the Patriots are in today. I think they have that fantasy camp that they do prior to every mini
camp. Fantasy camp? What do you mean fantasy camp?
Sort of where they bring people in and you go with the team, and I think it's, you know, people with certain issues, whether health-related, this or that, and it's, you know, you get out there and you move around the bubble with everybody, and I think it's mandatory the whole team does it. So I think Brady will be there today.
So this is like another charity type?
Yeah, I think it's volunteer. Through
it's
the crafts.
Not,
yes.
It's not... Like, you know, Red
Sox. No, this isn't Red Sox.
You ever seen Red Sox fantasy camp?
Right.
Where you can pay to go play?
Pay and come
with like retired guys?
Like the guy that was at the baseball tavern the other day.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Christmas. Yes. That guy probably got his uniform at Red Sox fantasy camp. Yep. That is exactly right. Let me read to you what that is from RedSox.com quickly before we get to headlines. The official Red Sox fantasy camp lets you live out the childhood dream of being a Major League Baseball player. No, actually it doesn't. You might think you're a Major League player. You're not. You'll train at the official Red Sox spring training complex, use the same facilities as the Major League team, and play on the Fenway Park replica field at JetBlue Park. Coaching you through the week will be past Red Sox greats like Louis Tiant, Mike Timlin, Trot Nixon, Ellis Burks, Rich Gedman, and more. No matter your skill level, any Red Sox or baseball fan over the age of 30 will rave about this Red Sox experience of a lifetime. The standard package for that is $5,300.
What?
Fools.
What?
You fools.
Standard package price, $5,299. 8 days, seven nights, hotels. So
when you say $5,300, it sounds bad. But $5,299? Okay.
So,
still listening.
And that is coming up next January. January 20th through the 27th of 2019. That's how you can go do that. That is not what the Patriots are doing.
That's weird. Somebody
sent
me.
That's not what they do.
Somebody sent me an Instagram post of Julian. Something put out there on Friday about for the weekend and the cool 2 day thing. Who's going to be there? Brady responded to it.
He did.
Instagram. But I'll be there! Exclamation point! Exclamation point! Jules has to work on his throwing form.
617-779-0985. We got some football items on the table. Really, how does Belichick treat Brady coming back in tomorrow? When things get real. Also, last night's NBA Finals continued. We're gonna hit on that and the Red Sox from the weekend. We've got some injury issues that are plaguing this team. We'll get to all of this coming up.
Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox beat the Astros in Houston 9-3 last night. Mitch Moreland doing it once again. A two-run homer. He must be feeling strong and good. Big enough to take on the world.
I mean, we got all the confidence in the world. You know, we've been playing great ball all year. And, you know, to come in here and to get these two right here to finish out the series and take that back home is nice.
It's like a young man coming in for a quickie. Hey, have the night off. Now, as Beetle just said, NBA Finals last night. Golden State Warriors took game two. 122-103. So they are up 2-0. The finals will continue on Wednesday night. LeBron James, 29 points in the loss last night. 33 for Steph Curry for the victorious Golden State Warriors. And game four of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight in D.C. Capitals have a 2-1 series lead over the Vegas Golden Knights. Headlines are brought to you by Stoneham Bank. If you need a bank, make it Stoneham Bank. Expect more, get more, do more. That's the Stoneham Bank way. Learn more now at StonehamBank.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Coming up on 3.5 remaining is Golden State. Curry way outside, another three. Steph Curry has set a finals record. His ninth three-pointer of the game.
Regardless of how the season went, that's a pretty cool deal to accomplish, knowing who's held the record for, what was that, probably 6-8 years. But at the end of the day, it's all about trying to get a win and doing whatever you can to make that happen.
You see game two of the finals last night?
Yeah, whole thing.
Yeah. A couple things stand out to me about this series.
What is up with those uniforms, first of all?
Doesn't it throw you off when you've got a road team and the home whites?
I don't... Yeah.
It always throws me off.
Now, we were going to bust Brad Stevens' balls on this because I didn't like the one the Celtics had. Now, the NBA tells these teams what to wear. It's not by choice.
Is that how it works?
Yes. We looked it up because we're going to ask Stevens a question. We were practicing our Brad Stevens questions.
Hey, or coach, do the Cavaliers say, or the Warriors say, we want to wear our dark Oak Town jerseys tonight.
What is town?
Well, it's
the town.
Oakland.
Or Oak Town.
Since when?
Many years, I believe, the nickname for Oakland has been Oak Town.
Okay. You know what? I actually like the colors better than that stupid yellow. I think it's a better looking uniform
than yellow?
Than the yellow home one that they wear. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying it's always confusing to sit there and watch a road team in the whites.
Yeah.
You have to get adjusted to
that. It's weird seeing LeBron's white, LeBron in white.
Yeah, it was odd. It was a little bit odd. Okay, so game two was clear-cut a game for the Warriors. I mean, it never felt like the Cavs were in the game.
You said this after game one.
Never felt like they were
in trouble.
Yeah. I believe they're in trouble.
Yeah. I do now, too.
And it just felt like they were never in it. Even when they cut it down, I never thought that the Cavs had a shot in that game. Like, just can't get into this. Steph Curry is being hailed as a hero today.
Is he still shooting?
For his performance. Let's say this. He hit some ridiculous shots. He hit some circus shots that you watch the game and say, you've got the Cavs working hard to create looks, and then you've got Steph Curry just launching bombs and hitting them.
Van Gundy's right. He's better than anybody in the league, moving, creating space for him to get in really odd spots.
To get himself open.
Yeah, like, I'm going to get to the corner, pin myself in a corner, but I'm still going to do this dribble move,
of course.
And somebody's going to set the pick, and I'm going to launch one.
He runs off screens. He's great.
He's good at it.
He does a lot of stuff that gets himself open for shots. Sometimes he decides to just take the damn shot anyway and makes it look easy. And so we put those in a highlight reel, and we say that he hit 9 3-pointers last night.
Do you know how many he
took? And that's a record. That's a record now. He hit 9 3-pointers in a finals game. He set the record last night. But he had to take 17, and he took 26 shots in the game, which is 12 more than the next guy on his team, Kevin Durant. He took a lot of shots.
17
threes. It's sort of a volume game for him, is it not?
Jim, how many shots did Durant take? 14, and he had 26 points?
14, as I
just said.
That's
as efficient of a game as you can have. That's a guy that should be being lauded today.
He had a very efficient
game. Not Steph freaking Curry. Stupid mouthpiece. God, I wanted somebody to smack it. I really did.
Durant was
standard. Hit him, Perkins. Put Perkins in the game.
Durant was 10 of 14 shooting, 2 of 3 from 3, perfect at the free throw line, was a plus 24, and had 26 points on the night. He had a really good game. Steph Curry is being hailed as this hero because he hits the ridiculous. Now, listen, those shots are very impressive. And some of them you just shake your head at and go, holy smokes. There's nobody else in the league who does what this guy does.
And he's the one that would hit him right when it seemed like Cleveland was going to make their runs, when they got it down to 6, when they got it to 7. Then it's the 10. Then, boom, it goes right to 13. And then LeBron just gets dejected after it. You know, LeBron doesn't get a freaking call. The two times he didn't get freaking calls, he just stayed down the other end of the court.
It's got to be so deflating.
It is.
So deflating
playing
for the Cavs to watch this guy go back the other way and just jack a three and hit it. So he hits 9 last night, and he's this big-time hero.
Yeah, was this kid on the podium with him?
How bad are the Cavaliers defensively?
Terrible.
Oh, they're wretched. They really are wretched.
Yeah, I mean, Golden State was bad through a stretch of that game, too. And Van Gundy was on it because I don't know who's going to call timeout first, or Mark Jackson, whoever the hell said it. But just horrendous defense by both teams. Terrible.
I liked what they wrote today in Cleveland, cleveland.com. On Sunday night, when the Cavs needed to set a defensive tone and quickly erase the horrifying memories from their Game 1 giveaway, they instead allowed Oracle Arena to explode and the Warriors' offense to get off to a fast start. Dunk, dunk, layup, layup, layup. That reminded me of chugga chugga choo choo. That's what it reminded me of. Dunk, dunk, layup, layup, layup. Boom, we're off and running.
Yeah, except it wasn't LeBron, it was JaVale McGee. They allowed that guy to dunk, dunk, layup.
JaVale McGee.
It says, that's how the champs opened up the game against the befuddled Cavaliers defense, a group that often gave more effort raising their collective palms skyward than they did when it came to deterring the Warriors from sprinting to the hoop. And so naturally, you know where my head goes.
What?
What would this series look like had the Celtics beaten the Cavs in Game 7?
You lost by 30 last night.
You don't know that. You do not know that.
I don't know if offensively you could keep up with them.
And I don't think you could.
Yeah.
The Warriors defensively would be stifling because they at times play lockdown defense. They do.
Who would you put Draymond Green on?
Let me think about this just in general terms before we start thinking about who would be fighting who.
Durant on Tatum.
Who would be pissed off at everybody involved? Just tell me, in general, do you think the Celtics, with their coach and their players defensively, could put forth a better defensive effort than what the Cavs have in games one and two.
If you cut the game in half and say defensively, absolutely.
You don't have to have any qualifiers.
You said defensively.
Who could you
qualified it?
Could the Celtics defensively be better than the Cavs so far in this series?
Yes. That's an easy yes.
So they would slow down the Cavs offense. Excuse me, the Warriors' offense. Could they keep up offensively? Probably not. But wouldn't that, in a lot of ways, be a more interesting matchup?
What did
the Cavs take away last night is my question. What did they take away? Who did they take away? Anybody? Can you make the case for anybody? Hey, we zeroed in on Durant. We took him away tonight. Hey, we zeroed in on Steph Curry. We took him away. Hey, this game we're taking away Klay Thompson. They haven't done that at all.
Durant almost hit every one of his shots. No.
And I get it. If you take away one, there's still two other great options there. But you got to take away something. And I have faith that the Celtics would have been able to do that. They would have made this more difficult. Do I think they would have had any better shot of winning it? No, I don't. I don't. But I think it would be, at least there would be some sort of resistance to the Warriors. The Cavs defensively are hideous. They are. 617-779-0985. Are the Warriors becoming any more hateable to everybody as they continue down this path of winning yet another title? Curious to know that answer, too. We'll get to your calls coming up next.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly. So I can perfect 95.
Tell you guys this all the time. The odds has been stacked up against me since I was, an adolescent. So, I put our team in position to try to win a championship, to compete for a championship. And, it's my job to make sure that we're as focused, as laser focused as possible, do my job, and continue to instill confidence into my teammates until the last horn sounds. So that's my job. That's my responsibility. That's my obligation. And I need to continue to do that, which I will.
This is funky.
Oh.
That's in the pocket.
It's like guitar. What's that? Bongos.
Boom, 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 bongos. 617-779-0985.
Got a little Sanford and Sunfield. Wow, 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 wow.
Did you catch Paul Pierce at halftime last night calling a blowout?
Oh.
He said this one's going to turn into a blowout. It felt like a blowout. 122-103.
At 7 points, it felt like a blowout.
It did. I understood exactly what he was saying. Paul Pierce was saying, this one's not going well. This is going to be a blowout.
Because you texted, oh, man, this thing's not even worthwhile.
Like, feels over.
Then LeBron hit that three, and I'm like, nope, you're coming back. And then Steph Curry
came right down
jackass.
The other end. Jason's in Lowell. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Yeah, you hear me okay?
All right, good, because I want the world to hear this. I never thought that I'd be rooting for LeBron to win, but I cannot stand the smug look faces on the Warriors team. Like, I'm with you, though. I want that mouthpiece of Curry to get...
I want Kendrick Perkins to knock him out.
And choke on his mouthpiece. I cannot... And Draymond Green, he clearly hacked players and then literally jumps up and down and complains like he never touched them. And it's really sad to irritate me. And after that first game, I do not see the Cavs. LeBron can't do it all. And you know what? Like, let me ask you a question. How hard is Steve Kerr's job to coach a team that has maybe 4 to 5 all-stars starting for him? And it makes it all, like, even, it hurts me even more because the Celtics, I believe, would have matched up better with him. And it kind of, it's upsetting because of how it all went down.
Okay.
With all the injuries and everything, and this team that got beat in the seventh game, like this season couldn't have gone worse for the Celtics, man, because I clearly could have seen them going up against the Warriors and taking them down.
Right. Well, don't say that it couldn't have gone worse.
See, I'm opposite.
I mean, let's not say ridiculous things like that.
I'm opposite. I like Draymond Green and the energy that he brings. See, I like those little scrappy players, and that's his game. That's his mojo. That's how that dude has to play. He's not Kevin Durant. You know, he's not Steph Curry. That makes me want to watch these type of series. But I don't know if you saw the extended timeout from game one at the end of regulation when LeBron was on the bench, and it was like a 92-minute clip. And one of the assistant coaches come over, and you could see LeBron ask, how many timeouts do we have? He said, we still have one. LeBron goes, oh, my God. He covers his head with a towel and just hangs his head. J.R. Smith's just sitting there with his head hung. And that was that right there was the nail in the coffin. He's leaving Cleveland. He's like, he can't do it.
I thought that, too. It's like, I can't do this anymore.
He's like, so you mean our coach knew he had one in the pocket. He even freaked out and didn't call time.
So regulation right ends. They're going into overtime. LeBron, and you watch that video. He sits there. Not a word spoken between him, J.R. Smith, and it goes on. And I think it's a minute 45, maybe two full minutes in the video. No one says anything. Where's the coach?
Right.
Where's Ty Lue?
You see LeBron go, how many timeouts do we have?
Well, that's when he finally came back over. That was the first thing he said to anybody, it looked like.
And we're done then. Where was LeBron
where's overtime? The coach in those middle 2 minutes?
Right.
How many timeouts we have? We had a couple. All right, look at this whiteboard. Yeah, here, let me draw up a play for you, LeBron.
It goes to show you how much they needed game one to even have a chance in this series. Yes. It really did. Like, that deflated them that badly.
That's a bad look for LeBron, that video.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You got to know how many timeouts you have.
Because
you don't have to ask the coach 2 minutes later. We didn't have any timeouts, right?
No, you're right, Jim.
So to have that reaction, you should have known
already. And where was he in overtime?
You should have known.
LeBron was a no-show in overtime. As good as he was in that game, scored 51. He had 2 points in
because
overtime.
Because he was done after that point. He was done at that moment when he found out they had timeouts left. He was done. And Jeff Green had to come over and console him before overtime started. That's how bad of a scene it was that Jeff Green, of all people, had to come over and console him.
And the comparison that everybody made about this was to Chris Webber in the NCAA championship trying to call a timeout when they didn't have any timeouts. Like, is that the biggest gap?
I don't know.
LeBron didn't know they had what the timeout situation was either.
But is that the situation where the coach has to call the timeout there? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that might be a team thing where, hey, guys, at the end of games, it is on me to call the timeout, not you.
Like, he should have
called. So he had to deal
once
with J.R. Smith's
turned
blunder,
into Wrong Way Jones.
Then it goes to
Ty
the coach.
Lue should have immediately called the timeout.
You know, you would think that LeBron at that point in time would have some sort of teaching moment where he would say, you know what? It wouldn't be so bad to play for a real coach.
Thank you. That was my thought.
Wouldn't he think that?
Like,
say,
right,
you know
there.
What?
He's leaving.
Maybe.
Where's he going?
Maybe me dictating who the coach is all these years getting coaches fired. Maybe that's not what I should have been doing all this time. Maybe I should want to play for a real coach.
Maybe he'll come to Boston.
Maybe I want some of this stress off of me.
Yeah. See, so, that came out over the weekend, too. Like,
I think it's
NBA
easy.
Odds for next year. Everybody's freaking out. Nobody's respecting the Celtics. Do you people understand? They're doing that with the thought LeBron is not going to be in Cleveland.
I think it's easy to look at the last two games and say, oh, look at this. LeBron's going to leave now. If LeBron is leaving, he knew this already.
I'm just saying that was the nail in the coffin, though.
He didn't know what Ty Lue was as a coach. He didn't know what J.R. Smith was as a guy on the floor and as a teammate. He knows all of these things. These are all known things to LeBron.
How about J.R. Smith?
He's known these things all year.
Three times J.R. Smith's changed his tune since game one. He knew that they were tied, and then all of a sudden he didn't, and then all of a sudden he watched it and he said, I don't know what I did.
Yeah, J.R. Smith is now speechless after going back and reviewing what happened. He came back over the weekend and said he's not sure what happened.
I mean, I told LeBron I thought we were up. My coach went to the podium and said he thought we were up one. Now I watch it. Now I don't know what to say.
I think it was a lost time event, like an alien abduction. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't remember
any
of it.
Sometimes, man.
No, he came back over the weekend. He wanted to update things. Tell you that. He now really didn't know what had happened.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow, that really looked bad. I got to come up with something.
Running around crazy. The one thing I disagree with, though, is watching like Golden State and how much and the Cavaliers and all this, is thinking that the Celtics may have had a chance against Golden State.
Yeah.
Stop.
Not a chance, but they would have been more interesting as a matchup.
I don't know. I really don't know. Because you watch how Golden State is winning these games, and here's what it is. Steph Curry doesn't have a shot. He can dish it to Draymond Green, who can take an outside shot. He can dish it over to Klay Thompson. Oh, Kevin Durant. All these guys can do something.
And my point is this, Hardy. Are the Cavs going to force him to do that at any point? Or are they just going to let their best player shoot as many times as he did last night and hit 9 threes?
But it doesn't
force him to do those things.
A hand in his face.
You can force him to do it, but if what are they going to do? Double team him? And not allow him to shoot? Then you're leaving open Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, or Klay Thompson.
Right, but I'm telling you right now,
there's no good scenario.
All three of them are open. Yeah, leave. You know what? You've got to pick your poison. There's no doubt about it. But at least force them to do something that they don't want to do.
So what the Cavaliers have when they double up on LeBron? Who does he dish it out to when they get within 6 points? Who's taking the shot? Jeff Green, J.R. Smith, maybe Kevin Love. But everyone knows what Kevin Love is. Sometimes he'll sneak around and get through on like a backdoor screen, and he'll get a layup. But those are few and far between. And I still think it's going to be competitive. I think Cleveland gets one of these games in Cleveland. But the options are so limited for anybody going up against Golden State. And in this era of three-point shooting, it doesn't matter how good your defense is. You've got guys who can chuck it and hit fall-away three-pointers from 5 feet behind the arc. You have multiple guys who can do that on Golden State. Cavaliers have one or two. The Celtics, how many guys fit that description for the Celtics that can hit the prayer fall-away three-pointer from a few feet behind the arc with any degree of consistency? I'm not talking about once like Marcus Smart will do during a game. I'm talking about hit a couple of those for you in a quarter.
They don't have those guys.
They have one, maybe Jason Tatum. Maybe. Jaylen Brown, maybe. Maybe. They're maybes. Golden State's got three.
Well, that's why they're also the best, most talented roster in the NBA. I mean, they've got a stupid roster.
And that's why it doesn't matter. I would have loved to have seen the Celtics beat the Cavaliers and get to the final. That'd be a very similar result.
Oh, it'd be a defensive battle. The games would be 79-75. It would be low-scoring defensive battles.
Okay.
Instead it would be boring.
How about
I'm
this?
I'm going to tell you this.
How about this?
It wouldn't be as entertaining as this.
No. I'll go with this.
Boring for Celtics.
Golden State would.
Exactly. That's my point. I look at it strictly from our perspective in Boston.
Golden State wouldn't score 122 points. They'd score 108.
Yes.
Okay, but they're still.
They'd have to work for it a lot
harder.
They'd
have to work a lot harder.
Are basketball fans different? Like, you know,
I just want to see them be forced to work hard at it.
Hardy, 0-4 Pistons. Come on.
0-4
Pistons.
You were
preaching this.
That's over. That's over.
Are Celtics fans watching this? Are Celtics fans bugged by this series and not going to watch? Like, you know, Patriots won't go to Super Bowl. We'll still watch Super Bowl. Are Celtics fans such green teamers that you hate LeBron that much, or you're so sick of Golden State that you won't even tune into the series? Or do you sit there and watch it and feel worse because, wow, to what you guys are saying, you know, we could defend better than that.
I think you only don't watch if your heart was ripped out. Like, I didn't watch the World Series in 03 because my heart was ripped out by that Aaron Boone home run.
That is true.
Right?
Yep.
I didn't watch a lot of that World Series.
I watched one inning of that World Series. It was the final three outs.
Do you feel like the Celtics fans' hearts were ripped out in that series? I don't feel like that.
Was it Marlins?
Marlins.
Yeah, Beckett.
Josh Beckett.
Oh, that's
right. Marlins.
That's a stupid Berman for his top play of the whole year was him smoking a cigar with the manager in the Marlins dugout.
Was it Jack McKeon?
I'm like, what? How's this a top play of the year? It was the most anticlimactic World Series ever. It could have been. Is that the year that the Cubs were in it, too? Could have been Red Sox-Cubs in 03?
Yeah, that was Bartman.
Yes!
Oh, my
yes!
God.
So the whole world is waiting for a Red Sox-Cubs World Series.
To your biggest markets tuned out.
You end up getting Yankees-Marlins, and Berman picks it as his top play of the year, like a series of plays from the Marlins winning the World Series just because he had footage of him in the dugout smoking a cigar.
You know that Jack McKeon was once pissed off at the Red Sox in 03 for running up the score at Fenway.
The Gabe Kapler game.
Yeah,
it's like 23-8, right?
Yeah, 25-8 was the final score. Jack McKeon was bull over that. That was Grady Little running up the score on him back in 03. Here are the headlines, 90 seconds, no commercials.